The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody! What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they'll put a smile on your face because they're fun and they're funny and they're entertaining. The review of the goofy news. I don't know if you watch the news. It's goofy. Which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. I had this brilliant thought. Instead of being informed by watching the news, we should be connected by spending time with the Lord. It's better to be connected than informed. I like that one. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Some of us will. Some of us will not. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy running.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So we're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process, that thing. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we encourage you to participate with us. Could be a praise report. Could be a prayer request. Could be an answer to Bible trivia. Could be something the Lord's doing in your life, and you just want to, you know, kind of flush it out and make sure that it sounds normal, or you just want to share it because you think it'll be a blessing for somebody else. That's all okie dokie, the theological term okie dokie. In order to do that, all you got to do is reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call that phone number, Terrific T will answer the phone, and you know what that's like? That's like a visit to Pleasantville.
That's a good one, right?
Visit to Pleasantville. Come on. That was a phone for a bell. There we go.
And I've actually seen that movie, so I know.
That's great that you caught that reference. Very, very good. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That also leads us to the website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David@HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, we got a couple of things we need to catch up on. At the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be doing our exposition on the book of Acts, our expository. On Monday, we'll be doing Ezra, and then I changed tomorrow's where we're going to be doing Psalms like next week. You know, I thought it'd be interesting at some point to share with you the process that I go through, because I think people are like, well, how do you, you know, some shows are better than others. Yesterday was a really good show. And it's like, how do you figure out what to do? And it's like, I take a wheel and I spin it and then I throw a dart at it and see where it lands. No, that's not how it goes. But one of the things that I do is, you know, I look at the notes that I have, and sometimes I get this, wow, that's like spaghetti, but without sauce. And so you think it's good, but it's not all the way there yet, which means it needs something added to it or something altogether different. Maybe I'm in the mood for pizza versus spaghetti, whereas T would want spaghetti and I would want pizza. So, I mean, the idea is just to really get that sense or that feel and do your best to respond to that. I make mistakes in doing that. Sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I get it wrong. guess what? Sometimes in the Christian journey, you get it right and you get it wrong. It's not a contest with yourself or anybody else to see how many times you can do it right, get it right, or be right, because only one, and that is Jesus Christ himself, always got it right. Even if you think, and to me, I have tremendous respect for the Apostle Paul. He was a little premature in trying to 86 John Mark, because it was John Mark who came back and wrote the Gospel of Mark. So it's not like he didn't contribute. And so sometimes you learn as you grow and mature, no matter how wise you may seem up in the very beginning. Keep in mind how wise Solomon was when he started. That didn't last all that long, did it? So here's the dealio. So you just kind of walk with the Lord the best you can and try to be sensitive to the Lord. And if you've it can't be just by feelings. Of course, you go by the Word of God first and foremost as your rule and as your standard. But the Holy Spirit will speak and will give you a witness left, right, or forward. And usually it's forward, just in case you want to know. You do your best to follow. And you learn that as a part of your process of growing up as a Christian. That's part of it. That's part of the maturity. Okay, with all that said, which has nothing to do with anything else in the universe, we're going to go to our read and ramble, which is in Colossians, because I have a couple things I want to share. I think they're really cool. So let's pull our read and ramble sound.
Well, I'm ramming.
Blin. All right, here's what Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 says. I say this so that no one will deceive you by smooth rhetoric. We covered that last week. For although I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see your orderly condition and firm faith in Christ. Paul says something that a lot of Christians have a kind of a weird feeling about, and I think we should be careful when we get into these overly cautious elements. What happened in the very beginning is they have the commandment, 613 or 619, depending on who you agree with or believe. And what they did was they put a bubble around the commandments so that people wouldn't blow the commandments. Then they put a bubble around the bubble around commandments so they wouldn't blow the things that would help people blow the commandments. Then they put a bubble around a bubble around a bubble around a bubble, and it keeps expanding out until it gets to be ridiculous. So sometimes in our Christian carefulness, we get overly careful and don't realize that there are some real practical things in life. This is not a spook thing. This is not a weird, like a ghosty thing kind of mentality. He goes, look, although I'm absent with you in body, I'm present with you in spirit. What does that mean? I'll give you a great example. My daughter Julianne has been going through quite a bit with Easton Scott. And we've talked about it. And we've had prayer for him and so on. And so we FaceTime with Julianne. We talk with Julianne. It's a little more personal than Paul ever could have got into. But I can't be there in Tennessee with her right now at the hospital because the hospital won't allow it. And the protections for Easton won't allow it. And only people who have been isolated for a very long time are allowed to see him. So I can't be there, right? I'm not physically there. But in spirit, in my heart, in my earning, in my yearning, I'm there with her because I love her and I care for Easton and I care for Jared and Addie Bug and Isaiah Anthony. And that's what Paul's talking about. He goes, I'm not there, but I'm there. And I think everybody knows what that means. Does that make sense? Do we get somebody on the line? Okay. All right. So I mean, it's really important to understand that part of it. We're going to bring Troy on. He's got a question. But it's really important to understand that part of it. So though I'm not present with you in body or absent in body, I'm present with you in spirit. You can be there without being there and without that being weird. Okay? Got that? All right. We're going to try and pull Troy in real fast and see if we can help him out with a question. This is David. Hi, Troy. Hi. You there? Hello? Troy? Hello? Okay. Well, we had him. Well, have him call back, okay? I mean, I guess I could have pushed something. Don't worry about it. I'm pretty bad at pushing buttons. Let me see. Unless it's irritating.
It's okay.
Yeah, but unless it's irritating people, then I'm really good at pushing buttons. I'm a button pusher. Well, that's not my goal. So anyway, that absent and be absent and be present is important so that you can know that even though you're not physically in a geographical location with somebody, you can still be connected, especially by prayer. Okay, we're going to try it this time. All right, here we go again. Hello, is this Troy?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you, sir?
You were talking about the waters, you know, when Moses was leading the children out of Egypt.
Uh-huh, yep.
About the water dispersing, you know, dividing.
Right, correct.
And I like your comment on that people think it was a river or something. But that's why I'm not asking you about that. But what about, you know, you said, I've heard all of my life that the soldiers of Egypt was wiped out when the flood, when the waters came back together.
Correct.
What about Ramsey?
So that's the so the king or the pharaoh would never travel with an attacking army at the front or at the rear or at the middle. He would always be at the rear in great protection so that there would never be anything to be able to see it. And just so that you can know, God wanted him to see what that rejection and that rebellion caused. So the soldiers went in forefront, and the remainders of the whoever was left would be able to see it, which would have been the pharaoh himself. So the idea behind that is that all of the soldiers went forward. The water was dry. In fact, they never would have entered it if it was muddy or low water. They would have waited until they had a better opportunity, but they couldn't believe that the river was split open. They thought they could take advantage. God squished them. But actually, for the pharaoh himself, he would be separated behind the army in greater protection because he was their God in many ways.
Well, whatever happened to Pharaoh?
Well, eventually he was replaced by another pharaoh, which was replaced by another pharaoh, you know what I'm saying, until they came to a conclusion in their kingdom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I often wonder why they – well, see, I've heard that he was a mock soldier, but he was up on a ridge watching them.
That's the consensus. It's tough to say without there's some verses that give us inclination, but I can't give you a specific, and because it's not in front of me, I'm more cautious to say it's this and it's absolutely this, but the general consensus is that soldiers would be at the forefront and they were the ones to be wiped out, and that God wanted that to be a witness.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like the way you explained that when you were talking about the Red Sea dividing. You said some people think it was a puddle of water or something.
Nope, dry land, baby. Dry as can be. Exactly.
Yeah. But I like the way you put it yesterday on your show.
I appreciate that, Troy.
Okay, then. I just wondered whatever happened to Ramsey. Everybody, you know, all the preacher talks about the soldiers getting wiped out, but they never did say nothing about Ramsey, you know.
Yeah. I got you. Brother.
Alrighty.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. and what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So Troy asked a question. I just did a quick review because I wanted to make sure. You know, it's one of those things you got to do. So I was looking at Exodus 14 for those that are looking for it. So it does say that the armies went in. It does not say that actually Pharaoh went in. So that's why their assumption. The one thing it does say that I don't think it's talked about a lot is the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And the in Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. It's one of the things that doesn't get discussed is they saw all the bodies, you know, all over the place. So that's kind of a unique, but there is a confidence or a historical element too that Pharaoh actually himself was somebody who watched versus somebody that participated. Do we know that for a fact? No. It's fun to talk about. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like all the other things. There's great things we can talk about. We can agree or disagree. It's not an issue of fellowship at that point. The issue of fellowship is Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And that, you know, that's the gospel truth, and that he's coming again, and that God knows how to write a book. That's it. Okay. All right, here you go. Here's your first trivia question. How many times did Jacob bow as he approached Esau? Okay, now you know he did at least once. So how many times did he bow as he approached Esau? Remember that big moment in his life? This is one of the reasons why Jacob wrestled with the angel. He knew what was, you know, the things that were going on. Big deceiver, kind of pulled things over his brother's will. His brother had a lot of angst going in the process. How many times did he bow before his brother when he saw him? That is the question. So we got that going. You ready to do a little DNA? Yeah? Good for DNA? All right. We're going to keep it simple. There's news. You know there's news. We'll just leave that there. The D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. I cannot stress this enough. I mean, if you want to do your devotions Monday through Saturday and go to church on Sunday, okay, great. Just spend time with the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. And again, he knows how to write a book. Thanks. And then A, always be ready.
To serve
because Jesus showed us an example by being a servant for all of us. So we're supposed to have that attitude towards one another, which is the whole Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, which is one of Paul's great, great, great theological writings. So let's keep that in mind, the DNA. That's how we should be functioning. Thank you very much, T. Appreciate that. All right. So I want to get to this next section because this is an amazing element. So we just talked about kind of you can be there from a distance. No, nobody has to get weird on me. Nobody has to feel weird. That part's okay. I want you to know that. But let me read you this next portion in Colossians. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, so in conclusion, or adding to this thought, I'm going to add on to this, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Now, I want you to stop here and think for a second about what's being said, because there's a whole group of people that's saying, well, it never says you got to receive Jesus. Okay? It doesn't say that in the Bible. You're right. It doesn't say that once. It says it 14 times. maybe 16. Here's an example. Therefore, just as you have received Christ Jesus, of course you have to receive, you have to acknowledge the testimony of God. What's the spirit with which you do it? Some people do it out of fear. Some people do it out of love. Some people bounce up and down out of happiness that they got saved. Some people beat their breasts as the because they were weeping because they're so sinful. It's different for everybody. When you encounter Jesus Christ, that result is often different one to another. Right? There's nothing wrong with that, nothing weird about that. But at some point, whether you grew up in a Christian home or whether you found the gospel when you were in your teens or in your early years, your teens, your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, whatever the case may be, there was a point where you said yes, and that yes was to the full testimony of God. We're sinful people. We need redemption by Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that testimony. We receive that testimony. We receive Jesus Christ to live in our hearts by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit to actually live inside of us, not by faith, but by reality. The receiving of Christ by faith enables the reality of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. It's not even that complex. But what Paul says is this: therefore, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. And this is the mix or a miss that I want to talk about. Paul didn't say, well, now that you're saved, it's time for you to get better and do better and be better because, you know, that saving thing, that's over with. That's in the past. Now we're moving forward to something else. That is not how this process goes. Sanctification, which is God making you look like Jesus, is the outward working of justification. Almost no denial of that in I think virtually about 95% of all the theologies, that what God has declared in you, he is now manifesting in you personally. But in this process, while you're going through sanctification, which is the ouch of Christianity, okay, it is, the reality check is for you to remember and to continue to live in Jesus the same way you received him. Remember when you said yes? How you went, yay! Remember how cool it was? Remember how powerful it was? Remember how relieving it was? Wasn't it wonderful for those that can remember, and even if you grew up with it, that somebody took your sins away for you, from you, because they love you? I mean, how awesome is that? That you can recognize, I don't care if you're 6, 16, or 66. Oh, those are bad numbers. Let's go 7, 17, or 77. That'd be better. Okay, sorry about that. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there's this point in you where you know or you knew you're forgiven. Well, you got to live in that. Now, the Lord is going to challenge you. He's going to confront you. He's going to mold you. He's going to rearrange you. You might consider yourself a little bit like Plato, and the Lord's just going to, you know, completely rearrange. He's the potter. You're the clay, right? That'd be a fair way to say it, right? Because that's exactly what it is. But that doesn't take away, remember, God being an interlinear being, living at all times consistently, where we're like point to point, doesn't take away from the joy. You know that there's joy when somebody gets saved. Jesus said when one sinner turns, I mean, the angels, woohoo! 99 sheep can be doing great. So the one that's lost and is found is like, woohoo! Yay! Let's celebrate, right? There is a celebration to the receiving of Jesus Christ. And there should be a maintaining of that celebration as well. And what happens is we, quote, unquote, let me say this, and I said this to my brother the other day, we get mature in Christ because now we're no longer babies, or at least that's what we say. And then because we're no longer babies, we're done with that, you know, really innocent first attitude of believing and loving and enjoying God. Now we're growing up. And it's like, look, the growing up pains are real. The sanctification process is real, but not to the loss of justification, not to the ignoring of the great things God has done, and not to the ignoring of the joy of your salvation. You're saved. And no matter how much God is working on you to reflect Jesus Christ and how hard the trial is, you're saved. And you know, no matter what you're saved. And that's supposed to produce in us a little bit of a dance, a little bit of a praise, a little bit of a thank you. Just as you receive Christ, continue just that same innocent moment, innocent. I actually have told somebody that sometimes, and this is true, and I'm a person who attends it, sometimes Bible colleges and even churches will talk people out of the innocence and the wonderfulness and the simplicities of their faith. Like, why would you do that? There's nothing greater than somebody remaining in their innocence of the faith. Nothing. So it's important for us to maintain. We're going to get into next week. I'll get into much more of the depths about being rooted and built in Him and established in faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. But I'm telling you right now, what you were when you got saved, God wants you to hold on to that joy and that gracefulness that you had, because it's powerful. Powerful. And you want to be able to access and be aware of that. And when it's all going nutty, remember that time when you said, I'm going to live forever in heaven. It's going to be awesome. It's not going to be clouds and magazines and harps. It's going to be fantastic beyond what eye can see, what ear can hear, or what can enter into the hearts of men. God's got so much great stuff prepared. If in 7 days He made the earth, He's taken 2,000 years to get heaven ready for us. Oh, yeah. That's my response. Oh, yeah. All right. How many times did Jacob bow as he approached Esau? The answer is in Genesis 33, 1 through 3, and the answer is 7. 7. You might want to remember that for future trivia questions, even future trivia questions today. Ooh, was that a hint? I cannot tell you. All right, so that's our read and ramble. Let's get ready because we're going to get up to the next section in Acts. That should be fun. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it. Okay? That's faith. Okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced, because God requires faith to us to engage with Him in. That's His requirement. That's the vehicle by which He has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But He chose the vehicle of faith because that's what He wanted from those that would come to Him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid.